Because usually at the CTF, when we fight against a government policy, it's either because it's super expensive, right? It's costing taxpayers a boatload of money, or because it's not going to work at all. But when we talk about the gun confiscation, it's doing both of those things at once. It's going to cost taxpayers a boatload of cash, waste a bunch of resources, but also not do a single thing about illegal firearms crime. Hey folks, Gage Hobrick here from the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. Before you watch this video, I just want to give you a quick update because this past weekend, the feds have announced that they are now pushing forward with the gun confiscation nationally. So all of the stuff we talked about in the video you're going to watch is still important and really good stuff to know about Ottawa's gun ban. But I'm just making this quick thing at the top to tell you that we're going to be making more stuff in the future to keep you better informed on the fight against the gun ban. We're going to go over what the legal ramifications are looking like for taxpayers as this goes forward, which provinces are against or for it, and how taxpayers can keep fighting back. So please check out this video that you're going to see next, but also stay tuned because we're going to be coming at you later this week with some of the most important and most recent information.
Ottawa's gun ban and confiscation scheme might be the dumbest thing coming from government, and that is saying a lot. Look, instead of going after criminal thugs and illegal guns, the federal government is going after law-abiding Canadians. This won't make Canada safe. It certainly seems to be a bit very big taxpayer boondoggle, but folks, it's not all bad news. Okay, taxpayers are scoring key victories against Ottawa's gun ban and confiscation scheme. Folks, I'm Franco Terrazano with the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. I'm here with my friends and colleagues. We've got Gage Hobrick, the CTF's Prairie Director, and Devin Drover, the CTF's Atlantic Director and in-house lawyer. And we're going to break down everything you need to know about this fight against the gun ban and confiscation scheme. Gage, let's loop you in here first, right? So the government launched this pilot project in Cape Breton. The pilot project was a clear failure, which you love to see from the point of view of the Canadian taxpayer. So Gage, why don't you describe what happened with the Cape Breton pilot project and why that was a huge failure for Ottawa?
Yeah, Franco, well, kind of nothing happened in Cape Breton, to be completely honest with it, right? Back in September, the government launched this pilot project to start confiscating banned firearms from individuals. The government said we were going to get 200 guns from people in the area. And then at the end of the day, the government actually only collected 25 guns from only slightly more than a dozen people. So that's a 12.5% success rate. And I know we talk a lot about failures from government, but I think that's even one that they should kind of look at and say, we really did bad here. This program's a clear failure. It needs to go. But the problem is, right, in typical government fashion, the lack of results here didn't mean lack of spending from the feds, right? So they gave the Cape Breton Regional Police about 150 grand to do their part of the confiscation over this pilot project. The feds also spent $27,000 in compensation for these confiscated guns. So if you do the math on that, that 25 guns, that's about $7,000 taxpayers are shelling out per firearm. Now, I'm a firearms owner, right? I own some guns that are nice, not so nice. None really come into the $7,000 range, and I doubt they did in Cape Breton either. So it's a clear failure from the cost, the amount of guns they got, and it's showing that even though taxpayers are pushing back, we're getting victories in this fight and showing Ottawa that this is a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, huge victory for Canadian taxpayers and, you know, for our tax fighters, the CTF supporters out there. You know, they say they were going to confiscate, what, 200 firearms. They ended up confiscating 25. So a 12.5%, right? They got 12.5%. Like, when you write your own test, and you get 12.5% on your own tests, not exactly an A+, right? A clear failure from the federal government. Now, Devin, let's bring you in here, right? You are a guy on the ground in Atlantic Canada. So I want to kind of know from you, like, what did the tax fighters on the ground in Cape Breton, what did the Canadian Taxpayers Federation do in Cape Breton to make sure that Ottawa's gun ban and confiscation pilot project out there was a failure?
Franco, I am so proud of the work that we did here at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, as supported by all our local tax fighters there in Cape Breton and across the country, who, you know, we helped first off organize a massive rally with hundreds of people, hundreds of local Cape Bretoners, that sent a clear message to the folks in Ottawa that they will not be a guinea pig for Ottawa's failed gun confiscation experiment. We had hundreds of people show up locally in front of the Cape Breton Regional Police headquarters there, which was, you know, the police force, as Gage mentioned, that was implementing the program. As well, it was across the road from the local Liberal MP's office, and they sent a clear message that Cape Bretoners do not support this policy. These passionate Cape Bretoners knew what we have been saying all along. It will do nothing to improve safety in Cape Breton, but will leave taxpayers with a massive bill while punishing legal, law-abiding firearms owners and make them, you know, basically be punished for their culture, for their heritage as hunters, as sports shooters. So, you know, and on top of the hundreds that showed up in the rally, you know, and these folks, by the way, are some of the most cheerful people I've ever met in my life. You know, as we all are either are firearm owners or no firearm owners, legal owners are some of the best people you'll meet. They showed up cheerful with coffee, bottles of water, snacks, homemade signs. You know, but on top of that, it wasn't just the people that showed up. And you know, it was an all day event. And some people, you know, have working hours that they can't get out of, as one would expect. We received hundreds of cars coming by, vehicles, trucks, transport trucks, you name it, honking in support of our message that Cape Bretoners are not going to be guinea pigs for this failed experiment. And that's not all we did. On top of this massive rally, here at the CTF, we offered free legal advice to those on the ground in Cape Breton who felt threatened by this pilot program. And folks, if you're not somebody like me who's used to fighting, you know, against bad governments in court or standing up to authority every single day, you know, it can be scary when you get that strange letter from the RCMP or, you know, local police forces essentially saying that you may be a criminal unless you give us your private property. Our message to Cape Bretoners there on the ground when we did a town hall later that evening, the same day as the rally, or in addition to that, when we offered support through email and with the support of a local law firm in Cape Breton, you know, we sent a clear message. There is an amnesty period. And for those who are unaware what that is, this is a fancy way of saying that there is a legal period in which it's in place now until at least October of 2026. It's been pushed back a number of times that lets anyone who has a quote unquote banned gun on this list to maintain their private legal firearms without being criminally punished. And, you know, we not only provided that information, as I said, to in person in town hall, we continue to provide that information to those who need it, because fundamentally a lot could happen in a year. One, this date, as we've seen a number of times, could be pushed back even further when an individual will have the ability to maintain their firearms instead of giving up in a pilot program like this legally. And as well, let's think about other things that could happen. We have a minority government in Ottawa that could fall any day. And we have a leader of the official opposition in Ottawa who doesn't support this policy. So if there's a change in government, it could mean that this gun ban goes away. And also, we could see the Liberal government in Ottawa come to their senses, mm-hmm. as they did on the consumer carbon tax under the leadership of Mark Carney, Prime Minister Mark Carney, and reverse this policy that we've been calling for, thousands and thousands of Canadians have been calling for. So there's no point in bringing your legal firearms in right now. Hold on to them. You have every legal right to do so. And that was our second big message in Cape Breton. And third—
Well, hey, Devin, let me just cut you off there for a second. Look, I don't think any of these politicians are going to come to their senses or really have any common sense to come to. But I sure do know that us tax fighters, the CTF mm-hmm. Army, could definitely push these politicians to scrap a horrible confiscation scheme, just like ordinary Canadians forced the Liberal government to end their own horrible consumer carbon tax, right? So I certainly think that can happen. Now, Devin, I do want to move away from Cape Breton, but I just want to ask you one last thing, and it's about the rally, because you also filed a Freedom of Information request, the Canadian Taxpayers Federation did, and we found out that actually the taxpayer bill associated with the rally, right, associated with extra security, was quite huge. Devin, why don't you explain what you found from those records?
Absolutely. So as our listeners are no doubt aware, we pry open government books all the time using freedom of information laws. And we found out, and the reason we found out is when I was at the protests, I noticed one, they shut down the actual rally during this period. They shut down the sorry, they shut down the police headquarters in front of this rally. Okay, so nobody could access the police headquarters during our very peaceful event. Nobody could access the parking lot during this period. They wouldn't let, you know, our peaceful protesters in to use the parking lot that taxpayers are paying for. And on top of that, they had private security guards hired in place blocking people from using the, you know, the parking lot that taxpayers pay for. So I thought, you know, in talking with the our local tax writers there, let's see how much this rally cost. It turns out it cost more than $23,000, which is the cost of shutting down the police station for the day. They deployed 26 police officers extra to sit inside the headquarters doing nothing. Another example of how this program is wasting tax dollars. Instead of actually using those 26 unit or officers to go, you know, investigate crime in Cape Breton or in Nova Scotia, they were paid to sit on their arses inside the campaign headquarters. And on top of that, taxpayers were billed $653 for private security. This is security for the police. I think these are the people who need security the least, but what do I know, apparently, to protect the parking lot. And let me tell you, when we left that rally that day, there was not a Pepsi can or a Tim Hortons cup left over. We left that place cleaner than when we got there. So this is another absolute waste of money by the Cape Breton police force in responding to our very peaceful rally.
Yeah, and hey, look, there was another big taxpayer victory and another big L for Ottawa out there in Atlantic Canada. Hey, Devin, so what happened in Charlottetown? Another big taxpayer victory, another big failure for the federal government.
Yeah, and this is exactly what we've been saying all along. It's not just, you know, a handful of rabid tax fighters in certain locations that are opposed to this policy. This policy is unpopular everywhere you go because taxpayers know it is not going to work. And that was the case in Charlottetown, where the Charlottetown City Hall just last month voted unanimously not to take part in Ottawa's gun grab. And this is after, of course, like we've seen in Cape Breton, dozens of taxpayer advocates, dozens of legal firearm owners showed up to protest the potential decision of Charlottetown City Hall being involved in this gun grab. And I think it's important. Let me read a quote from one of the councillors before the vote, because I think it really strikes true here. This is a quote from Charlottetown City Councillor Mitchell Tweel. There doesn't seem to be any emphasis put on illegal gun owners and the illegal guns that are on the street in this country. Instead of going after legal gun owners, the emphasis should be on illegal gun owners. Again,
you're here.
Everyone outside of Ottawa, outside of the government in Ottawa, knows this program is pointless and a clear waste of money. The federal government is running out of options and needs to cancel this program. And again, Franco, as you pointed out, we will continue as tax fighters, you know, our tax fighting army across this country continue to push back. So we get, you know, smart folks like the Charlottetown City Hall to say no to the federal government and ultimately, with any luck, cancel this program.
Yeah, so the federal government, clear failure on its Cape Breton pilot project through the gun ban and confiscation scheme. Charlottetown says nay, nay. Another big failure for the federal government. You love to see it. But Gager, I'm going to bring you back in, right? Because it's not just Atlantic Canada that is pushing back against Ottawa's gun grab, right? There's a lot of other provinces that are pushing back as well.
No, exactly, Frank. And I think there's a point in there that I want to bring up also when Devin started talking about the quote from that counselor about how the focus should be on illegal guns. Of course, every smart person knows that, every expert, every law enforcement expert that we're going to be talking about. But it's important to highlight that in the case of this gun confiscation, right? Because usually at the CTF, when we fight against a government policy, it's either because it's super expensive, right? It's costing taxpayers a boatload of money, or because it's not going to work at all. But when we talk about the gun confiscation, it's doing both of those things at once. It's going to cost taxpayers a boatload of cash, waste a bunch of resources, but also not do a single thing about illegal firearms crime. And that's kind of what these provinces are realizing when they're not going to commit these resources. So we've got the premiers of Alberta and Saskatchewan and the Yukon. They've all called for Ottawa to scrap the program. We've seen in Alberta and Saskatchewan, they're passing laws to make it harder for Ottawa to implement the confiscation. There's a couple good quotes here as well. The Saskatchewan Firearms Commissioner just plainly says lawful firearm owners are not causing public safety concerns in our communities. Very similar thing from Alberta's Justice Minister, where he says turning previously legal firearms into prohibited ones does nothing to make our streets safer, right? So we're seeing that both provinces both realize that this program is a clear waste of money. It won't make anyone safer. And they're telling Ottawa to take a hike and they're not going to participate in it at all.
Yeah. And look, first of all, you're making me miss living in Alberta. You know, man, every time I hear that, I'm just like, why am I in Mordor? Why? But Gage, look, it's not just like these politicians, these provincial governments. You also have the police associations across Canada speaking out against the gun ban and confiscation scheme. And remember, these are the people who represent the men and women in blue who are tasked with keeping the streets safe, who are saying, yeah, this ain't going to work. Stop going after law-abiding Canadians who have done everything right and start focusing on going after criminals, thugs, and illegal guns. So, Gage, why don't you explain, like, the police associations that have spoken out against this and why they say this won't make Canada more safe?
Yeah, Franco, these are the experts. The people, as you said, are on the ground actually trying to keep us all safe, and they're saying it's not going to work in pretty plain language. So we've seen from the RCMP union that they say that this program from Ottawa diverts extremely important personnel resources and funding away from addressing the more immediate and growing threat of the criminal use of illegal firearms. So there, again, we're talking about this program is not going to make anyone safer because it's not going after anyone doing crime. It's going to waste the police officers' time. We've seen a similar thing from a spokesperson from the Ontario government talking about those police forces. They said that Ontario police services do not have the resources to confiscate previously lawful but now prohibited firearms with lawful gun owners, right? So that's a little bit more jargony, but then we get it straight from the president of the Toronto Police Association, who you've talked to before, who basically says in no small terms, we know that the program is going to have essentially zero impact on the crime in Toronto. And it doesn't get more succinct like that. Zero impact means the government should be doing zero things on this.
Hear, hear. And I would say on many other things, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. That's another episode. Okay. But look, first of all, I just want to say, like, to the Canadian Taxpayers Federation supporters, to the tax fighters out there, to everyone watching and listening along with us here, I just want to say a huge thank you, right? Because we've been fighting this for years, right? I believe it was the Liberal Party back in 2019 that first announced this. And we have been, there's been other groups as well. Kudos to them who are doing a really good job. But we have been one of the leading groups, especially from the taxpayer boondoggle element of this, fighting the gun ban and confiscation scheme. And I just want to say, folks, like, you're seeing these big victories from the point of view of us, from the taxpayers against Ottawa's horrible gun ban and confiscation scheme. And folks, I just want to say thank you so much for your support. Thank you for fighting with us for years against this gun ban and confiscation scheme, right? Yeah, you really are seeing the fruits of people's labor and advocacy for taxpayers. But Gage, I will say, the fight is not over, right? Mm-hmm. There's still some provinces, municipalities out there that seem like they want to get on board, maybe get a cut of the taxpayer pie from Ottawa.
Yeah, Frank, you know, we've been fighting this one for so long, I've kind of got the ability to grow slightly more facial hair than a couple of years ago when we started this. But yeah, we've seen a bunch of provinces realize this is a bad idea. It's a waste of taxpayer money. But there's two other municipalities and provinces who have decided that instead they want to sign on with Ottawa's confiscation program. A couple more dominoes to fall for tax fighters. So the first one is the Winnipeg Police Service. They signed an agreement with Ottawa that's being updated, but they're getting at least $2.8 million to conduct their part of the gun confiscation if it rolls out nationally. So that's just completely ridiculous, right? Because you think about how much more $2.8 million could have done to actually stop real crime that's happening on the streets of Winnipeg, instead of having the Winnipeg Police Service go door to door, however they're going to do it, to take guns away from people who have background checks and who completed courses to own their firearms. A clear waste of money. And then we move on to Quebec, the big chunk, always the big spender when it comes to federal government funds, I think we can say. They're getting $12.4 million from the feds, the government of Quebec, to conduct their part of the gun confiscation. But what's a huge slap in the face about this one is that we had just recently commissioned a poll asking Quebecers what they think about the gun confiscation, right? And they don't support it. We asked, okay, given all the money that's going to be spent on this huge gun confiscation in Quebec, should it rather be used to make people safer by stopping illegal gun smuggling or focusing on the confiscation? And a majority of Quebecers, not just Quebecers in the rural area, not just Quebecers who are going to shooting range, a majority of all Quebecers said that they want the government to focus on illegal gun smuggling, not wasting money on the gun confiscation. And the government of Quebec decided to say, we don't care what Quebecers think, apparently, and just took some more money from Ottawa, as Quebec loves to do.
So many shots fired, and I'm here for it, Gage. Like, I am here for it. Yeah, I mean, this fight has aged Gage dramatically. You look at that full, beautiful beard that Gage has. Before the gunfight, he used to look like my colleague and friend Devin. So you can see how years in the trenches fighting for taxpayers has aged Gage. Now, speaking of Devin, let's bring you back in here, man, because, like, look, I think, Gage, you've done a fantastic job really leading this fight for us at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. But Devin, you've done a ton of work, right, especially on the ground in Atlantic Canada, right? You talked about the rally in Cape Breton. You talk about the free legal service and advice that we're offering Cape Bretoners. You talk about the Charlottetown Council vote against Ottawa's gun ban and confiscation scheme. But that's not all that the Canadian Taxpayers Federation and you, Devin, have done, right? Like, we're also now in a legal challenge against the gun ban and confiscation scheme. And Devin, as our in-house lawyer, why don't you explain what we're doing fighting in the courts as well?
Absolutely, Franco. And you said the right word a few minutes ago, boondoggle. This is going to be a taxpayer boondoggle of a program. And one of the things that we want to figure out here at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation is exactly how much that's going to cost. So as we do, as I mentioned earlier, we file a lot of freedom information requests where we ask government, as we're legally entitled to as taxpayers, how much this program is going to cost and the records related to it. And what we got back was a straight denial. The RCMP essentially said that they're not going to provide us the information that we're lawfully entitled to under the Freedom of Information Act for this information. So what did we do? We took the next step, which is filing a complaint with the Office of the Information Commissioner. This is a government office that's supposed to act as the safeguard so that when things go wrong, they're assigned to investigate and give us the answers that we're legally entitled to. We filed this complaint in April of 2024 to get this information. But over a year later, there's been no report, no explanation, no timeline of when we may get an answer. There has been just crickets. So that's why we have filed this groundbreaking legal challenge asking the federal court to compel the Office of the Information Commissioner to do her job and release this information. And the Supreme Court of Canada has made it very clear in the past. Access information laws, freedom of information laws, whatever you want to call it, exist to protect democracy, not government convenience. And that's why, you know, if Canadians can't get information like this, you know, ultimately their rights are being violated. And, you know, we can't, to the full extent possible, debate, criticize, you know, talk about this policy if government is hiding key information, including the price tag. So that's why we're going to force open the books and get the information so taxpayers like those listening and those across this country can have the full information possible. And this may not be our only challenge against the against the price tag on this. We have more coming down the hopper, and I'll be sure to share that with our listeners soon. But as of right now, we're in the depths of a federal court challenge to pry open the books and figure out exactly how much this boondoggle, as Franco rightly put it, will cost Canadians.
Yeah, leaving us with a little bit of a cliffhanger there, Devin. I like it. Like, look, I'm kind of snickering a little bit, like kind of laughing, but it's just because, like, it drives me so nuts when the government won't say how much something costs. Like, it's not, hey, newsflash, bureaucrat down the street, it's not your money. Okay, you don't want to tell Canadians how much of their money you're spending, then don't waste it and spend it in the first place. Like, it just drives me absolutely nuts. So now the federal government doesn't want to, you know, come clean with how much it's really going to cost, but I bet you Gage has a pretty good idea of how much the gun ban is going to cost. So Gage, what is it? What's the cash on the dash, man? How much is this thing going to cost us?
Well, I think we should warn taxpayers that it's definitely not going to be cheap. So your blood may boil as we go through these estimates that the government has released, because they've been completely non-transparent, keep changing the numbers. They've been spending money without actually doing anything, which I guess is kind of par for the course for government, but awful nonetheless. Because before we talked about that $7,000 per gun we saw in Cape Breton, the government was already wasting millions of dollars on the gun confiscation, despite not actually doing anything. You know, the best estimates show that about $100 million was spent before taking a single gun from an individual licensed Canadian firearm owner. And that's just the start, right? Because we've seen the estimates you mentioned. They announced it back in 2019. At that time, the Liberal Party said the whole thing was going to cost $200 million, but they spent half of that before taking a single gun. Then we got a report from the Parliamentary Budget Officer a couple years later saying $756 million. Then we got reports that internal government documents say $2 billion. We're getting kind of a pattern of doubling every little bit here. And then we've seen other independent experts who have done the research, who know this thing, who have said it's going to cost taxpayers up to $6 billion by the time that it's all said and done. Now, I think there's one important thing here to talk to about taxpayers. I think the $6 billion number is things that taxpayers need to think about. The government right now has been throwing around $742 million. They say that's how much we've budgeted toward this program since it started. But taxpayers need to take that number with a grain of salt, because Franco and Devin, you'll both know, our listeners will all know, that often when a government says a budget for something, it'll come in over time and then over budget later. And we've seen that in the past with gun control from Ottawa as well. The old gun registry, which was just a registration program for firearms, not this crazy huge confiscation, was supposed to cost taxpayers $2 million. That was the government budget. At the end of the day, it came in at $2 billion. So taxpayers should not be believing these best case, super case scenarios from the government on this. Instead, look at those independent experts who are saying this could be a $6 billion boondoggle for taxpayers. And that's why it needs to go.
That's gross. That's absolutely gross. I mean, even that long gun registry, right? 2 million to 2 billion. Not exactly a rounding error. Hey, folks, like not exactly a rounding error. Okay, we've been going on for quite a bit of time now. Gage, why don't you take us home, man? Where does the fight head now? Give us the current state of the fight and what we have to do as tax fighters to win this thing and to get the gun ban and confiscation scheme scrapped.
Yeah, two important things to end on with taxpayers. Devin mentioned it earlier, but that amnesty for people who have the now banned firearms is still in place until October 2026. So you can keep your guns until then, at least, unless the government pushes it back again, without becoming a criminal. That's an important thing. Number two is that the public safety minister has said they're going to start to roll out the confiscation sometime this month. However, every single time they've said that in the past, they have pushed it back because of pressure from tax fighters and everything else. So we'll see exactly where that fits. But obviously the pressure is still ramping up on this fight. So the best thing that tax fighters can do is head on over to our website at taxpayer.com to sign our petition we have calling on Ottawa to scrap the gun confiscation, so then you can get informed when we're doing more things like the Cape Breton rally, like doing polls, like putting up billboards to fight back against Ottawa pushing for this ridiculous scheme. And also you can share this video with people who don't know what's going on in Ottawa, and you can like, share, and subscribe and get as many people as possible to know about how bad this policy is, so we can push it over the edge and put it in the dustbin of history.
Hear, hear. Let's end it there. Thanks, everyone.